My guest tonight on Notably Texan is an outstanding singer-songwriter who lives in Austin. She's released well more than 15 albums. She was recognized as the official state musician of Texas in 2010, and she just dropped her debut album on Dallas's Kirtland Records titled Shine. Joining me via telephone from Austin tonight is Texas' own Sarah Hickman. It is a real pleasure to talk with you for the first time, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always exciting to get to do radio.
And you're doing a lot of TV stuff, too. I was going to mention a little later, I follow you on Facebook, so I'm always kind of seeing updates on the things you're doing. And I know that, you know, you're there in a very big music town, Austin, and do a lot of things with radio and television. But radio is a lot of fun to do, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's always fun because you get to talk like this.
That's right. We're going to talk about the new album and much more of your music here in just a little bit. I was hoping that we could kind of learn a little bit about your early years, Sarah, if you don't mind. You were born in North Carolina, but as we say, you got to Texas as quick as you could, right?
Oh, yes. I grew up in Houston, Texas, and loved it. I lived on a street full of kids and just had the best time. We used to make up bands and make up homemade tickets and sell them to the moms, and we'd have chairs,
cool.
And my mom would make curtains, and we'd, you know, put on plays, and then we'd take all the money from the tickets we sold and ride our bikes up to Dairy Queen, and, you know, so, yeah, it was a really fun, fabulous childhood in Houston.
Nice. So I'm assuming that your family encouraged your creativity then.
Yes. My mom was a fiber artist, so we had a 9-foot loom in the back room, and she made kind of three-dimensional weavings that were in museums, and my dad was a painter.
Oh, wow.
He passed away 2 years ago, but he taught at the University of Houston for 40 years in all kinds of stuff, color theory, design, painting, drawing, illustration, and he was very beloved. And so having two parents that were so multi-talented, it's just ingrained in me, you know,
yeah,
to see the world through creative eyes. So, of course, that led to me being a songwriter as well.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? You started off in college in some little place called Commerce, Texas, that's a little bit,
yay,
familiar to me, actually. You went to East Texas State to start off college?
Yes, I went to East Texas State. There was a really great advertising aspect to the school at that point, and art was really prevalent there. So I went to learn how to be an art director, and I met Mark Seliger there, who many people will know from his covers for Rolling Stone, and he just did the new Steve Martin, Edie Brickell cover.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great photographer anyway, so he has some nude photos of me from way back then when he was studying.
Uh-oh. All in the name of art, of course.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. Then I did graduate with a degree in art from North Texas State University.
Yes.
So I was going to be an art director. That was my thought at first.
I have talked to so many people who end up getting a degree in something and do something completely different. So I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of there. That is so exciting to hear about this East Texas State connection, because for obvious reasons, that's not going to be in any of your bio information out there. So that's really exciting to me to hear about that.
Well, actually, it's kind of funny because I always knew I was going to be a musician, and art was going to be kind of the way to pay for my being a musician.
Okay.
So when I moved to Commerce, I played at a place called Butch's Barn.
Okay. I mean, it's still there. It is not,
and
unfortunately.
Happy Armadillo, and I played at a Pizza Hut. So I was, you know, honing my chops in these three different little venues. I would be playing, and there would be guys shooting pool.
Nice.
And one night I was trying to sing, and these guys got in a big fight, and I was sitting over there with my little microphone and my guitar singing these little songs. And one of the guys said, "Shut up, the lady's trying to sing." And so they pulled up all the chairs in the bar, and they sat in front of me, and he was kind of like the taskmaster, like, what can you play for us? And he was real nice, and I was just like terrified, but it turned out to be a really fun show, and they were great people, and they left me big tips, so I have great respect for Harley people now.
Nice.
No one killed me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, after you ended up graduating from college, I think that's when you really seriously set your sights on this music career, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was really, I was at North Texas, and I was studying art, and I was doing music at night in clubs and bars. I was really lucky in that I met Carl Finch from Brave Combo.
Yeah.
And he said that you should make a recording, and I was like, okay, so... some people, including my grandparents, put some money together, and I made a little 45 single. David Rosenblatt was the producer, which is really funny because I just saw him after 20-something years, and he now lives in Austin.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of weird. But anyway, so yes, I made my little 45 single. Then after that, I made Equal Scary People, and then Elektra heard it, and that was it. I got signed to a major label, so it was... it was pretty quick. It was like a year out of college, and I was already off and running.
I know this is, you know, kind of a silly question, but did you have any idea at the time that you'd still be doing it all these years later?
Well, you know, when I was 6 or 7, that's all I thought I'd do. So
yeah.
I think there's something to be said about having a vision, no matter what age you are, and just working towards that vision, because the more you work towards it, the more the snowball grows. So
right.
I think the wonderful thing about it is that I've gotten to use my art as well. So I've gotten to help design CD covers and posters and work as art director in that, or help do photography sometimes, which is really fun. So
yeah.
I still get to do music and art, and I also paint. So I have shows every once in a while, and both my children are musicians and artists, and my husband's a photographer and a designer, so our house is just full of, it's like, you know, a living museum.
Yes, really. That's nice. Well, you mentioned your debut album, Equal Scary People, that ended up being produced by the aforementioned Carl Finch of Brave Combo. Was that an awesome introduction to the kind of rough and tumble world of making an album?
Well, I don't know whether to say that was very diplomatic or to say that was really funny. Yeah, I was on a little TV show, and I'm trying Dr. Fangus, and it was this guy and his dog, and they both wore sunglasses, and it was like a little, it was before cable access was popular.
Okay.
And anyway, he had me on his show, and Carl called the show and said, "Who is that girl? I really want to meet that girl." And so then I met Carl, and Carl's kind of been one of my gurus throughout life.
Nice.
Anyway, he's like, "You need to make a record." So we made this record, and it was exciting, and it was hard work, and the whole band played on it, all Brave Combo. And
yes.
What was interesting was Jeffrey Barnes, who plays sax and all clarinet and all the horn stuff, he actually said, "You should learn This is a Man's World by James Brown."
This is a man's world.
I was really grateful for that, because I thought that was a great choice, and I still love that song.
This is a man's world, but it would be nothing, nothing. Woman or a girl.
Carl was very much about, "You need to do I Wish I Were a Princess." And I was like, "I don't know about that." But that song has lived on in infamy. In fact, I played the Dallas Zoo Saturday, and there was grown women, teenage girls, kids all coming up and going, "Please do I Wish I Were a Princess." So I was like, "Okay."
Wow, isn't it funny how some of those can just, you can't shake them.
I wish I were a princess. I wish I were a princess. I wish I were a princess, and you were my prince.
You're listening to Notably Texan on 88.9 KETR. On your following release, Shortstop, that was when you kind of got a little bit of a taste of some real success out there with a tune that climbed up the adult contemporary charts, I Couldn't Help Myself. That kind of let you know that you were doing something right, I assume.
I had been independent, and back then, in 1988-89, people weren't doing independent. So, you know, I had been going and knocking on Sound Warehouse's door for 3 months, and finally they were like, "Oh, okay. Oh, I've come to your shows. I know you. You're Sarah. Yeah, we'll put you in the stores." And that was a big coup for back then. Being on a major label, all I really needed to do was make music. But I learned so much about the business side, and I asked a lot of questions, which I'm sure were annoying at the time, because artists generally just got signed and did their thing. But I wanted to understand when I was signing. I wanted to understand, you know, everything from how people were working in broadcasting to how, you know, stuff ended up in the store and on the there was just so much to learn, and
yeah,
especially the legal aspects. I would read my contracts, and I liked reading contracts. So I think in my next life I might be a music entertainment lawyer or something.
There you go. Wow, you just dropped a name of a place I haven't thought of in Sound Warehouse. That was a throwback right there.
I know, right? It was just so important to me to get in there, and I was the first person to have a little special section for independent artists.
Really?
So, I think my tenacity paid off.
Nice.
You know, I've always, you know, people say, "Why do you want to do that?" And I'll say, "Well, why not?" You know, and
sure,
then I'll just go make it happen. Because I, you know, right now I have endorsement deals with Takamine and Luna, and someone in my business circle said, "Oh, you can't do that." And I said, "Why can't I do that?" And he said, "Because nobody does that." And I said, "Well, Luna doesn't seem to mind, and Takamine doesn't seem to mind.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing both guitars, and I'm in pictures with both guitars. You know, what does it matter if they like it? So they were, like, kind of blown away. I guess that's not normal for people to do. But
interesting.
Yeah. So I'm grateful to both of them, and I'm grateful to Elixir. They give me strings, and Gibson has been a big supporter. So when you're a starving artist, so to speak, and people are handing you guitars, you're not going to say no.
Exactly. No, that's a big help. No doubt about it. Sarah Hickman joins me tonight on Notably Texan. This is 88.9 KETR. Now, I think it was around 1995 when you ended up moving to your current home of Austin, where you still reside with your happy family there, right?
Yep. I got married, and I have two daughters. One is 17 and one is 13. And incredible, just incredible people. They're the best people you could want to know. And they both perform live. Our youngest plays baritone ukulele and sings.
Wow.
And our oldest plays guitar and piano and sings and writes her own songs.
No, that's interesting to hear because, you know, a lot of kids, of course, end up kind of rebelling against what their parents do. It's like, oh, no, you know, my dad's an accountant. I don't want to do anything with numbers.
Yeah.
So I think it's great, though, that that your kids do relish in what you do and are, in fact, getting into that themselves. That's wonderful.
Well, it's funny, like the other night, Lily and I were sitting on the sofa. She's our oldest. And we were both painting and drawing and watching silly TV, but, you know, it's fun to find pieces of paper around the house. Like, EO will draw these little cute things, and you just find art everywhere. And we've actually run out of wall space for all the art and photography they do. You know, anybody out there listening, and they always go, well, no, I'm not creative, or I wouldn't know how to do that with my kids. Our kids grew up with a little tiny art table that had all these supplies on it and musical instruments at their level. And they could just make a mess, and we had walls painted with chalkboard paint.
Yes.
So they could draw with chalkboard on the walls. And I think it's really just allowing them the grace of having fun and not saying no, but saying yes. And I know that worked with my parents for me. I find it so invigorating to watch them. They're 10 times better than I will ever be, and I think their children will be 10 times better. And you just pass it down. So anyway. I probably went on too long about my kids. No, but,
hey,
you know, I'm mom.
I open the doors. I know how that goes, you know? Well, Sarah, let's shift our attention to a cool project that you gave your blessing to a couple of years ago. The 2011 double disc album called The Best of Times, Texas artists performing the music of Sarah Hickman. I honestly think this is kind of a testament to how far reaching your music is because you were able to bring together all these diverse voices from around the state. I mean, we're talking everybody from Graham Wilkinson to the Jim Babes and Willie Nelson, Matt the Electrician, Marsha Ball. All these artists agreed to record renditions of your songs, and the result is just this beautiful mixture of words and sounds. I wanted to ask
you.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's really great. I was curious about kind of how this worked. I mean, did you approach each artist and ask them to pick a song from your extensive collection, or did you go to each and say, you know, we'd love it if you covered this?
Well, here's what I did. Willie Nelson and I were, Willie was state musician before me, but the legislators pick two people at a time because they're in session for 2 years and then they're out for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
So Willie was state musician and I had a whole year before I was going to be state musician. So I decided to do something procreative since the legislators had slashed funding for schools, for arts and theater programs.
Right.
And I thought, well, maybe if I make the CD, I can raise money for Theater Action Project, which takes art, theater, dance, music back into Central Texas schools. So my idea was I would approach as many musicians as I knew, and I would send them a song of mine that I thought was kind of in their genre, and then a song that was a little outside of the box for them.
Okay.
So it was a lot of work because I was juggling managers, engineers, musicians. I had this huge whiteboard with everybody's names, and the first person I asked was David Garza, and he did it that day, and
really?
It was amazing. And then, you know, Brave Combo really wanted to do Simply, and I was holding out for Willie, and then Willie did it, and then Brave Combo did it, too. So it was cool because Willie opens, there's two discs. The first disc was his version of Simply, and I got to play guitar with him, which, let me just say, was really cool.
Oh, nice.
And then Brave Combo closes the second CD out with their kind of Euro disco
version
of it, which I really love. I just think it's hilarious and fun, and you can dance around to it. But, you know, it was cool because, like, the Flatlanders came back together, and I got to be in the studio with them and work on the song, and they all had some really cool ideas. So to be in the studio with some people was fun, and then, like, Ruthie Foster sent hers in, and Edie Brickell and New Bohemians got back together, and when I got Edie's in, I started crying because she actually incorporated my name.
I know.
Into the song. And I, you know, and people were asking me, emailing me and calling me, well, what, can I change verses? Can I do that? I was like, do whatever you want. So,
sure.
You know, you send a song out that you've played and you've known and you've written, and then you get it back and you think, oh, it'll be kind of like this. But like when Graham Wilkinson sent his version in.
Oh, yeah.
I totally loved it. And actually, I wish I'd kept the sneeze because right at the beginning of it, he sneezed and then the song started. But he took it out when he kind of remixed it. And,
okay.
But I wish I'd kept it. It was so cute. Anyway, yeah, so it was a blessing. It was a ton of work. And, you know, but I like producing. I like overseeing things. And then when Willie handed me the torch, boom, I had this CD called Best of Times. And there was an event at the Paramount where people came out and performed and more money was raised. And so I hope this album or this collection will continue to sell and reach people so they can support the arts here in Texas for kids.
Certainly a worthy cause, and it is a collection that I reference, honestly, weekly here on Notably Text, and it is so wonderfully eclectic, which is kind of what I try to do with the show here. This is going to be really tough. I'm going to throw you under the bus here, but if you had to pick out maybe a cut or two as your favorites from the Best of Times, well, could you and would you?
Oh, man. Well, I really love, well, I love Edie's version, not because my name's in it, but because they just totally took that song in a different direction. And I kind of love all of them.
Sure.
You know, they, people just, like I said, surprised me, and I didn't know what was going to happen. So, you know, the first one that comes to my mind is Aubrey Moore. I liked that. And I like David's because not only did he did it that day, but the actual version that Angelo Badalamenti and I wrote, he and I made this kind of bossa nova version. It's really upbeat and happy. And Angelo Badalamenti is the guy that did all the music for, and still does for David Lynch.
Okay. I was just hoping that you could pick out a couple.
I'm kind of babbling because I'm not really sure what to say. But
no,
yeah.
It's all right. I again, as I said, this was going to be an impossible question for you to answer. I was just hoping you would name a couple of your favorites because I know what I enjoy off of the collection, but I wanted to hear what your favorites were. So, oh gosh, I love the that Matt the Electrician version of Middle of a Little Country Road.
He did such a great, and he played all the instruments on that.
I believe that. He is so talented. I've played almost every cut from that on the show here. So if people have heard songs on Notably Texan that they thought, wow, that was really kind of unusual and cool, there's a pretty good chance it was off of the Best of Times. So.
Oh, thank you. Well, I really appreciate that support because I thought it was a great story. I thought the packaging was beautiful. I thought.
Yes.
The fact that all these musicians came together, towards the end, Lucinda Williams said yes, but I'd already finished the album, so I'm hoping maybe at some point I can make just maybe another CD because I have tons more songs.
Sarah Hickman joins me from Austin tonight on Notably Texan. My name is Matt Minky. Sarah, your brand new album is called Shine, just released on Kirtland Records, a great label out of Dallas that puts out a lot of cool music. It's not exclusively Texas music, but it seems to be about 90% Texas bands that Kirtland deals with, and I was really excited to see you on that label because I get a lot of releases from them. I wanted to delve into a little bit of the process on this album. I think that for your previous releases, you've kind of gone into the studio close to home there in Austin with a concept in mind and tried to sort of stick to that construct. But as I understand it, you sort of turned everything upside down for your recording process for Shine. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I normally record here in Austin and I'll have a concept, although I did go to Nashville and work with Adrian Blue. I have an overall concept and then I write the music to match that concept. For example, Absence of Blame were all songs that had to do with looking at the other side of why we're blaming someone.
Okay.
And Spiritual Appliances was 13 different emotions. So this time, though, I went to my friend Jim Jacobson in Los Angeles because I wanted a totally different vibe. I was sending him lyrics or poems that I had no music to, and he would send me back music that he'd written. And he is a composer, orchestrator. He plays every instrument. He's an engineer and a producer. So I would get these melodies and full songs, and I couldn't believe it. So I flew out there and we just had fun. We just made songs. There wasn't really any greater purpose than to just make a really fun album. And I think he kept the joy de vivre I have of writing in different styles, but he also made it have consistency.
Yeah.
I really loved working with him. It was just such a fun process. And then our 13-year-old daughter did all the photography for the cover. So
nice.
Yeah. And it's gotten a lot of really good feedback. And I'm really happy about it because I just, you know, of course, since it's called Shine, I want people to hear it and shine and have fun and like it. Nobody wants to have something not like it.
Well, sure. Well, I would say you two definitely succeeded on making a really fun album. It really is entertaining from start to finish. The album opens up with some catchy melodic sounds on the tune Tasty Sweet. I love the hand claps and the, I don't know if it's actually a xylophone, but it sounds like a xylophone kind of in the middle of that tune.
Oh, it's a little toy piano.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Even better.
Yeah. Well, that started with Colin Boyd and I wrote that when we were in Dallas in his bedroom on his little four-track. And I was playing pencil on a notebook, and he was playing upright bass. And it was a fun song to write. And then when I sent it to Jim, I said, you know, I want to keep it kind of organic. So those are actually the original vocals from when I sang it on the four track in Colin's studio.
Really?
Yeah. So, but then Jim added all the other stuff and yeah, it was fun. And that toy piano is the one I think that Colin originally played.
Nice. I love hearing, you know, unusual instrumentation like that on any album, you know, and especially when it's a toy piano, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Sarah Hickman talking with me about her new album, Shine, on 88.9 KETR's Notably Texan. You kind of get in touch with your inner cave woman on a tune on the album called Primitive Stuff. What can you tell me about that track? That's a lot of fun.
Well, you know, I stood about 15 feet back from the mic and I just yelled as loud as I could. And at first I had to figure out how to do that live on stage because sometimes the stage is small and you can't get far back enough to the mic. But I've learned how to assimilate that with my throat and my diaphragm. But well, that song's really just about kind of telling somebody, you know, if you can't handle it, you know, it's primitive stuff. We all go back to just the basics, which is fear and love. And so I guess I'm just kind of telling somebody, you know, yeah, life's tough, so sorry. Too bad. Which is really not how I normally talk to people.
Well, sure.
Through my music, but
I think that, you know, after hearing most of the other songs and the positive messages on your music, you know, that I don't think anybody's going to get the wrong idea from that one.
Yeah.
It kind of,
and I think it's fun and bouncy. When we do it live, people are dancing, and it makes me want to write more songs like that because it is so catchy and bouncy that I don't really have anything to go after that.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. When I first heard that tune, actually, I don't know, maybe it was just some trigger in the back of my mind, but I instantly recalled the old Fleetwood Mac tune, Tusk.
Oh, my gosh, I love that song. And I love what Mick Fleetwood did with the drums and how they had the live band, the high school band. Yeah,
oh, right.
Thank you. That's a huge compliment. I'm a big fan of theirs.
It's a great tune, Primitive Stuff, on the new album, Shine. Sarah, the album also has a beautiful down-tempo number just to kind of show your range. There's a tune called You Are Not Alone, which kind of speaks to, well, frankly, it speaks to everyone, as far as I'm concerned, anyone who's ever felt isolated. You know, like us DJs who spend hours alone here in the cold, dark studio.
But yeah. Yeah, there's nothing worse than, you know, I don't want to say nothing worse than being alone in a studio, and then you get to have somebody bright and shiny come in and have a conversation.
I know.
Your own private dinner party, really, except the people are getting to listen in.
Exactly. Is there anything you can tell me about that tune, You Are Not Alone?
Yes. Well, that song, I was in Boston, and this is kind of a strange story, but I was in the restroom in Boston. I was sitting in the stall, and I looked on the back of the stall, and someone had written in very, very nice penmanship, like an architect or something, I know what it means, and I was trying to figure out, that was the only thing on the door, I know what it means. And it was really bugging me all the way back to Austin. And I finally realized I kind of got what that meant. So I wrote this song, You Are Not Alone. I'm really grateful to whoever that anonymous person was. But that song seems to resonate with a lot of people, you know, especially nowadays because of texting and communication. We don't really spend a lot of face-to-face time anymore, you
know? That's true.
And I think people are worried about the economy and where the world's going and war. And so I think it's just a reminder that you're not alone. And not only do I love you, but there's a lot of love in the world. So you mustn't give up.
Wow. All thanks to that anonymous bathroom stall writer.
Yeah. So when you're writing graffiti, just remember you never know what might come of it.
Such a shame that you can't give them actual credit in the liner notes somewhere.
You know, actually, now that you say that, that's kind of great. I wish I had thought to say. And written by Sarah Hickman and anonymous.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what it means to feel sad. I know what it means to feel lonely.
I'm talking with Austin's Sarah Hickman tonight on Notably Texan. You're listening to 88.9 KETR. Now, Sarah, you have been just literally showered with awards and accolades, notably being named Texas State Musician in 2010, which we touched on a little bit earlier, in good company with the likes of Willie Nelson, Lyle Lovett. I was going to ask you, what did that title kind of entail of you on that year? Did you have to, I assume that it had a lot of things entailed with it that you would have to go out and do as the Texas State Musician?
Well, you know, what's funny is that is the first thing I ask. Like, oh, boy, what do I get to do? You know,
right.
How can I help? And they were like, well, A, there's no money, and B, you just enjoy that moniker, that title. You
okay.
Just say on your website you won State Musician. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, you don't have to do anything. And I was like, well, you don't know me very well. So, you know, I did two things. I did the Best of Times, and all the musicians and engineers were gracious and donated their time
to
make the songs. The guy that did the package design, Pat Ramseur, graciously did all the design. And the Paramount donated the night so we could have the concert. The second thing was I wanted to do something for children specifically, so I put together this group called Family Time Rocks, and HEB gave us a grant. So we were able to tour around Texas. It was me, Gray Parsons on drums and vocals, and Jason Moline on bass and vocals. And the three of us would go in schools and libraries and perform at different festivals. And we made a CD. And it's the interesting thing about the Family Time Rock CD is you can download it for free at familytimerocks.com. And it's got people singing in English and Farsi and Swedish and German and French and Spanish and Portuguese. And also talking, so there might be a parent and their daughter talking about how they make jewelry together, but they're speaking in Farsi. So I wanted it to be a multi-ethnic album that reached all kinds of families about how to be creative together, how to dance together and have fun. It also comes with a syllabus, so you can be listening to the CD if you're a teacher or a parent, and you want to get some ideas of what to do with these songs, like what are they about? How does it make you feel creative? What can we do together as a family around this song that would be creative? So I really wanted to engage families through that group. And
that's wonderful.
Because we believe families that create together do great together.
That's cool. That's such a great thing to do. We need more of that, I think.
I think so, too. And, you know, kids are the ones that bring home ideologies about everything from dance to art, and when they don't get that in school, then a lot of families don't have that kind of playfulness about it's okay to be creative. One of the cool things that came out of the HEB grant was we got to do bus murals on the sides of the Austin buses. And
oh wow,
again, our youngest daughter did the artwork for the cover of Family Time Rock, so her art was driving around on all these buses, and all her friends and families, people were like, oh, I saw your bus.
Yeah.
Billboard on the side of the bus, you know? So it was really exciting for them, too, you know?
That's great. Now, Sarah, you're also renowned for your involvement with social issues and civic outreach. You've helped to raise countless dollars for the arts, homeless shelters. You've been presented awards from the likes of the National Association of Music Therapists and the Speaking of Women's Health Initiative. This is something that, boy, there's been a lot of hot-button issues, of course, here over this past year or so, too, that I'm sure you no doubt have taken a stance on. But I just have to salute you for doing, you know, these things that you do that are well outside of your of your realm as just being an entertainer, if you will, just a singer and songwriter. You're taking it to another level and really standing up for the things that you believe in.
Well, thank you very much. That was very kind. I have to say that early on, I was very impressed by both of my grandmothers. They would take me with them to the hospitals where they were volunteers, which led to me being a candy striper at an early age.
Oh, wow.
That led to me doing music therapy when I was about 14. I would go in and work with kids in psych units or people in the hospital that were just lonely. And I recognized very early on that music was therapeutic. And so when I moved to Dallas, after I graduated from North Texas, I started doing music and art therapy through a group there called Arts for People. I really loved that so much. So all those things led me to realize that if I was getting any notoriety, I could use that for causes I believed in, like going to Romania. And when I did that, all the fans I knew sent in socks and toothbrushes, and people were donating all the kinds of things that people in that country couldn't get access to. And then Lufthansa paid for the shipping of 21 refrigerator-sized boxes full of all these items.
Wow.
So I went over for a week and a half and worked with orphans who were living down under the streets and orphans in orphanages. So I've always tried to have my music give back. People can go to necessaryangels.com, and I have a list there of 12 different groups that I'm consistently working with, and they can just click on the link and go learn more about that group or donate or go volunteer their time.
Wonderful.
I really believe that it's not my music. I'm sent this music somehow magically or spiritually, and that kind of guides my purpose. You know, if I can work with the homeless on the street and help them to stay warm so that they don't die in the freezing cold or the rain, then I'm grateful to those songs for giving me that opportunity.
Well, boy, I got to tell you, if just 1% of the people that are exposed to your music, if this stuff rubs off on them, then that's going to make a huge difference in the world. We just need more positive thinking like this, you know?
Thank you.
I know that I'm really building up your ego here. It's not that you don't already know about all this stuff, but Austin has celebrated a day in your honor not once but twice. Is that true?
Yes, I don't know how that happened, but when I first moved to Austin, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years afterwards, yes, I went down to City Hall and they gave me a Sarah Hickman Day. And then I had a second Sarah Hickman Day, I think it was 3 years ago. And I think a lot of that had to do with the Texas Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. I had done a tour with them for a year where we went to 13 different cities and just had people come out and they could ask questions about the death penalty. They could tell us why they were for it or why they were against it.
Okay.
And we would bring two speakers and two different musicians. And I think those people nominated me for another Sarah Hickman Day, and I'm very grateful to them. Yes, I don't know, you know.
It's getting to that point. It's getting to that point where you're like, oh, geez, it's another Sarah Hickman Day.
No,
I'm just kidding.
It happened, I just can't believe it. I just think, oh, there's, you know, it's very kind, and you get this beautiful proclamation that,
yes,
you can frame, you know.
You are just a real Renaissance woman, I got to say, and we are fortunate to have you here in Texas. I know that you've got a busy schedule of touring and promoting the new record for the rest of the year, no doubt.
Yes, and I'm Shine debuted at number 3 for the Independent Music Retailers Association. I think I got that right. And I came in right before Smashing Pumpkins, so
wow.
I felt pretty good.
Nice.
That's one thing I'd like to toot my horn on is that Kirtland worked really hard along with Lotus Nile Publicity and,
yes,
and, you know, Waterloo Records here in Austin and all the independent music retailers. So if you're out there and you have a local record store that's still independent, please support them because they really care about music and they still know what liner notes are and they can tell you what music to look for. And this is not a slam against the big chain things, but,
no.
You know, mom and pop's rule, so support them.
Absolutely. They're dropping like flies. You hear about it all the time, so you got to support that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to invite you into the KETR studios for another chat the next time you're nearby, Sarah. We're just about an hour outside of Dallas. Love to have you in studio and talk to you, have you maybe do a song or two for us.
I'd love it. Then I could look you in the eyes and sing right.
Absolutely. No, I would love to do that, and I sincerely hope that we do get to meet in person at some point, but this has honestly been a treat for me. I've been playing, like I said, your stuff. I can't keep the best of times out of our CD players around here, and now I'm going to say the same for Shine. We're going to be spinning a lot of tunes from that. Yeah. I wish you all the best with this. I hope that you get the attention you deserve for this new album, Sarah.
You know what, Matt? It's people like you that make me really happy what I do, because it takes a village, and to know that you're playing my music literally makes me want to cry right now, because it's just, it's a tough world, and having the support from people like you means so much. So I really appreciate that you are playing not only Shine, but you're continuing to play Best of Times. So rock on, my good man, rock on.
Well, thank you for your kind words, and we're listener-supported radio here in Northeast Texas. Before I let you go, did you have maybe a comment for folks on why they should support, you know, we're talking about supporting, you know, local, you know, music outlets and the like. We're kind of a local music outlet for the radio here in Northeast Texas.
Yes, let me just say, local radio, independent radio, is so important, because they have the opportunity to play the playlists they want. They can support the musicians they like, and they bring you a variety of music you are not going to hear on radios owned by big corporations. And you get to hear in studio live performances, and I have so much fun, because the biggest reason is not only do you guys and gals support our music, but when I get to come in and do it live in a station performance, I don't just play one or two songs like I do on the big radio station.
Exactly.
I get to have a full conversation with you. I get to talk about the songs, and then I get to sing the songs. I usually end up doing four or five or six songs.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's like coming over to somebody's house. So, you know, all of you that are listening, even if it's $5 or it's $500, whatever you can afford, next time you're drinking at Starbucks, think, oh, I could send this over to the radio station and support them, because they love me and they bring me good music.
There you go. That's wonderful. I appreciate your words on that. The wonderful Sarah Hickman, I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to speaking with you again, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Matt. Have an excellent year.
This Notably Texan feature interview has been a production of your station, 88.9 KETR, broadcasting from Texas A&M University Commerce. Please visit our website, ketr.org, and click on Support This Station and make a donation in any amount to ensure that interviews like this continue coming your way on your station. You can find archived interviews, playlists, and much more at our website, ketr.org. I'm your host and producer, Matt Minke. Thanks for listening.